You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. We begin with the markets. As usual, OPEC gathers in Vienna for an emergency meeting on the declining oil price. Oil is bouncing around at about a 16-month low at this hour. The markets are holding a rally, at least in the futures pits, and it appears that on Wall Street there may be a flat to negative opening this morning. Markets everywhere else around the world were declining. The only thing that's spiking these days is the U.S. dollar. And what does that mean? Antonio Regalado is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal. He joins us from Mexico City. Antonio, thanks for being with us.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
You know, your story yesterday in the Journal was really amazing to me, and it really talked about how behind the scenes companies all over the world, but particularly in Latin America, have made some pretty big bets, and in at least one case, bad bets, on where the dollar's going to go. Can you describe, first of all, the story of the retailer in Mexico who on Monday was huge and on Tuesday was bankrupt?
I mean, this is a big retailer that goes by the nickname of La Comer here in Mexico City, competitor of Walmart, and one of the largest retailers in Mexico. And they have quite a strong business, but their CFO came back from vacation early this month and discovered that the company had basically gone bankrupt due to bets against the U.S. dollar.
Now that sounds like a reckless decision on the part of company officials, but on some level, we should be reminded that companies around the world, particularly in emerging markets, have to be concerned about currency prices and make bets like this to deal with their operating expenses, because they're constantly sort of translating from one currency to another to support their exports and imports.
That's exactly right, and that activity is called hedging. You buy or you sell dollars in the future because the value of your exports, say soybeans, or the cost of your imports, in the case of this company, products, TVs, and such that they're buying and selling in Mexico, you have to balance one against the other. But what has become clear is in Latin America is that people stop using those hedges as insurance, and they started simply betting against the dollar. And when the dollar took off earlier in this month, they ran into a lot of trouble.
So now the bet they were making, and it's not irrelevant to the whole sort of macro picture of global markets, the bet they were making was not an unreasonable one. It was that the economy is turning downward, the U.S. is heavily leveraged, so therefore the dollar is probably going to get weaker. What they didn't count on is that the rest of the world would get so weak that the dollar starts to look good.
Exactly. I mean, in Mexico, there was a widespread view that the Mexican peso, which had been appreciating against the dollar, was going to continue to appreciate. And in Brazil, the local currency there, the real, had reached all-time highs against the dollar. And so people just did not foresee that the dollar would suddenly take off. I mean, in the case of Brazil, the dollar went up about 40% against the real in just a matter of 2 days, as investors started to flee Mexico and Brazil, and they needed their dollars, actually, because they were having to cash out positions to pay their investors, et cetera.
Well, I want to talk about that in a minute, what the sort of realities of that are in just a moment. But first, I read somewhere that Mexico has gone in a 12-month period from being the second biggest growth economy in Latin America after Brazil to being an economy that is essentially on the ropes. What is the impact of that kind of a reversal on the streets of, say, Mexico City?
Well, I've been here for about 2 weeks, and the typical question I'm getting from taxi drivers is, is this crisis going to affect us? So I think right now it's really still a lot of concern about what the future might hold, but there's little doubt that Mexico is going to be affected, because Mexico is a huge exporter of the United States. I think that the just the consumer numbers are down in the U.S., and Mexico, among countries in Latin America, is the most exposed to this crisis and the effects that it could have in the United States. Less so other countries like Brazil and Chile, but certainly, the effects are being felt. and you know this case of these companies going bankrupt because they bet the wrong way on the currency is probably the most dramatic one that we have so far.
How about this? Former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan just this morning in the last few minutes said that the current financial crisis is a once-in-a-century credit tsunami. Do you think, is Mexico a victim of this unprecedented economic situation that the world is facing, or is there some other problems in the Mexican economy that helped bring companies to where they are today?
Well, I think over the last few years, really economies in Latin America have done pretty well. I mean, there's been an export boom. They have gotten their sort of economic houses in order, following sort of orthodox economic policies. They've built up big dollar reserves. So in a sense, Latin America, Mexico, these countries are in the best position they've ever been in. And when the crisis start to get going, you would hear the heads of the central banks, the heads of the countries, Brazil's President Lula saying, you know, we're well protected against this crisis. This is not our crisis. This is a crisis of up there in the United States. And their tune has quickly changed as the problems have spread here in unexpected ways.
Well, that's what's so painful about what's going on here. I mean, we're seeing pictures from Argentina of lines outside of banks of people trying to convert their local currency into dollars or their questionable investments into dollars. With the world leaders in Latin America, suggesting that perhaps the success of the last few years meant they were out of the woods, the traditional woods of hyperinflation and instability, it's raised the expectation. I'm wondering if this persists in Latin America, if we're going to see a wave of political instability as well.
Well, that's a good question, because Latin America is divided between countries I mean, if you think of Venezuela or Bolivia, I mean, countries with populist leaders, which have a kind of, you know, socialist program of taking over companies by the state and that sort of thing. We saw an example of that in Argentina just yesterday when the president of Argentina said that she was going to nationalize the pension funds, which is basically a huge grab on private property. That is clearly not a popular move, but it's not clear to me that the crisis will drive Latin America in one way or another. I think that the economies that have adopted sort of orthodox economic policies and in a sense are more to the right are going to do better, and that the crisis could bring serious problems to countries like Argentina and Venezuela that have questionable economic policies, you'd have to say, and I think the crisis may bring social unrest and trouble to those countries.
Well, and Venezuela has to worry about the oil price, which is going down to an unprecedented degree. Let's talk then for the short term in the last few seconds that we have. Antonio, you mentioned that one company there at the top that made a bad bet and all of a sudden is bankrupt. Are we going to see the veil come off some of these other companies in Latin America who are going to reveal that maybe their books are in much worse shape than we thought?
Definitely. I mean, we don't know the extent of this problem yet. In Brazil, they've been asking all the countries, companies to disclose their losses this quarter. And so there's definitely probably more to come. We don't know how serious the problem is.
Antonio Regalado is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal. He joined us from Mexico City. It's fascinating if you look at the world map, how the tsunami, as Alan Greenspan calls it, is going to be hitting each individual country. And the out-of-the-woods expectations of Latin America are certainly more sober now, but as Antonio says, it's going to affect every country differently.
And such an important element is that there is a lot of talk that when they start investigating exactly what went wrong, there's a real question about transparency. And some of these companies that are by day selling clothes, but by night were investing heavily in currency transactions, came as a big surprise to those who were holding shares, thinking that I'm putting my money into a company that sells jeans. But no, they're making money by, you know, gambling, some would say, in the currency market.
And it's not simply Latin America. I mean, General Motors or General Electric, a lot of people don't realize, is mostly a financial company. That in most quarters, its profit comes from being a financial player, being more like a bank than a jet engine producer. In any case, we want your stories and our discussion about the global economy is available online at our website, mytakeatthetakeaway.org. Also, we're America's exit poll. Are you voting early? Have you voted early? What's your story of the infrastructure of America's democracy for the early voters standing in line all around America? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.